Ramsey TV.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the beauties of being a member of the body of Christ rather than a member of the Christian religion is this freedom, this amazing freedom that those of us who actually realize that this freedom is real and not theoretical, we can be ourselves. We can totally let it all hang out. When's the last time you heard from a pulpit in church to let it all hang out? That is not generally something that they tell you, because in Christianity, the order of the day is uniformity. Everyone needs to act the same, talk the same, be the same. Now, the uniformity we're looking for here in the body of Christ is a uniformity of teaching, of beliefs. That's a very difficult thing as it is, but to think that we as individual beings, as different from each other as are snowflakes from one another or fingerprints, isn't it amazing that your fingerprint is unique to you? It's incredible. So God made us each our own way, and this sounds a little Christian-y itself, but it's not, because consider this, it seems a little, you know, flowery to say, be yourself. God made you as an individual, and so you're special. And, you know, it sounds kind of saccharine-ish, but it's true. But the irony is that in Christianity, even though they spout these platitudes and these saccharinated offerings, I'm being nice, being generous there, they don't believe it themselves, because they demand uniformity. And they keep saying they have freedom in Christ, but they don't live in it. It's all theoretical to them. They say we're free in Christ, but they try to conform themselves into a uniform presentation that is known to the world as Christian. I'm a Christian, so I do certain things. I say certain words. And this is sickening. As you know, Paul says in Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ frees us. I always thought that was a great phrase. Why does he repeat that twice? Because he's emphasizing the word freedom, obviously. For freedom Christ frees you. So Christ didn't free you so that you could now get into more Christian-y forms of bondage. No, he freed you to be free. This is such a bold, radical teaching that few people, even in the body of Christ, believe it. But I think definitely more people in the body of Christ believe it than do in the Christian world. I bring this up, by the way, this is Martin Zender. Welcome to another edition of MZTV. I am the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, broadcasting to you from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in my kitchen at the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula. I was sent an email by a very well-meaning gentleman, and I'm not going to give the name of this person because it was a private email, but it has launched me on this discussion today, on this teaching of our individuality in Christ and how Christ likes it when you are yourself and who he made you. What does Lady Gaga say? I was born this way. That's pretty good. Lady Gaga is actually tapping into a truth there that the Christian world does not tap into, because according to them, we have to continually overcome what we were born. We have to, it's constant overcoming with those people. It's every day is a freaking challenge to conform yourself to an image that each respective religion gives to you. The Baptists have one thing they want to control you, make you into. The Pentecostals have another thing they want to put you into. Of course, the Christian religion in general has a language called Christianese, and everyone conforms to that language, and they end up saying the same things. So there's old Lady Gaga saying, I was born this way. And so, not to say that God does not over time conform us to his image, but that's his business, not yours. In the meantime, you can let it all hang out and be yourself. Listen to this. I found this email kind of humorous on one level. Okay, Martin, I subscribe to your videos. I watch them quite often. Thank you. But sometimes I don't make it to the end because of your goofy antics and your language. Did you need to do all the weird and annoying noises? Well, what, like which noises are weird and annoying? Is it this one? I don't know if I've done that very often. Or is it this one? I don't know. That might be it. I seem to have done some noises with my mouth, like maybe those are the noises you're speaking of. I do play my eyeball. I don't know. That could be what you're talking about. Well, let's continue here. Today, and I will reference you to this show. Today, the irritating rendition of the opening of the song, "These Boots Are Made for Walking." Why not quote a verse from the Bible instead? It was a few days ago. I need a laugh. I really do. This is very welcome. I'll tell you this. Do you think I started that show telling myself, okay, at the 4-minute mark, note to self, imitate the intro, the baseline intro of "These Boots Are Made for Walking"? No, I don't expect these things to happen. I don't plan for these things to happen. I am freewheeling in here based on the 40 years of scriptural fact and information and truth and knowledge I have within me. That is my foundation. And then when it comes out of me, it is mixed with this funny little quirky little thing that is called Martin Zender's personality. And this is what I'm talking about. I'm finding that we're allowed to let our personality come through. I'm going to finish this email, but let's go ahead and watch that clip. Let's watch that clip there from the show. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, that's pretty good. Okay, I'm sorry, but I thought that was pretty good. I remember the day, and I've shared this with you, that I realized, this was in like the fall of 1992. I was walking through the woods near my home in Greenwich, Ohio, and I was contemplating quitting my job at the Postal Service to do this work. And I had been trained, and I had been reading for years, items from the Concordant Literal New Testament books and articles. I had been reading the newsletters of a teacher named Ray Prinzing for years. I'd been listening to his tapes. I did put out a little newsletter, many of you don't know this, from I think 1986 through 89. It was called Food for Thought, and it was totally conformed to every other newsletter I ever saw. In fact, it was specifically conformed to the newsletters of Ray Prinzing, who at the time wrote a newsletter that I really respected. It was called Truth for Today, I think it was called. So my newsletter was called Food for Thought. Yes, how straight-laced, how nice, how not the intro to "These Boots Are Made for Walking" by Nancy Sinatra. Great hit of the 60s, by the way, by the daughter of Frank Sinatra. Watch the video. It's fantastic. I will link you to the video down here. It's a classic 60s video, the girls in short skirts and boots and just primo entertainment. So on that fall day in 1992, I had a revelation that still reverberates within me today. It was such a shocking thought. It seemed like such an illicit idea that it excited the hell out of me. Oops, sorry, I used a bad word there. My writer here, the email, doesn't like that either. I'm going to get to that part. Where do you hear that? I'm not poking fun at it. I understand why some people think this way, especially older people, but I want to give you some of the keys to the secrets of my success, and it has to do with being who God made me. Anyway, back to the woods. So there I was thinking, everything I'd ever read was like dry theology. It was very educated. It was very erudite. It was very squared at the corners, and I thought, nobody colored outside the lines. When you read A. Enoch, every once in a while, you would get a little tiny whiff of humor, but it was so obliquely stated that you really had to, I think that might have been funny. Be careful, A. Enoch, don't say anything funny. It seemed like it was illegal for anybody to be humorous when writing about God, and I never quite understood that. And where were the illustrations in these books? I mean, I always look for pictures when I look at a book. Why is it that writings about God must not be illustrated unless they are cutaways of the temple or charts of the Aeonian times. Yeah. Well, as you know, in my book, The First Idiot in Heaven, which God is using mightily to bring in members of the body of Christ, I have an illustration in there of Hitler in drag. Where has that been, right? Where has that been? And where else can you get an illustration like that except in my books? So anyway, it hit me that what if I could put my personality into a newsletter? What if I could be myself? Like, what if I could put cartoons in there? And what if I could be my smart ass self? And what if I, if some words came to me that seemed a little discolored, I could say them if I was inspired to? This seemed like, this was like, is this lawful? Is this legal? What would happen if I launched a newsletter like that? And what if I called it something besides my boring newsletter, Food for Thought? And the name of the newsletter came to me right there. It was The Idle Babbler Illustrated, based on what the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers in Athens called Paul. I think it's Acts 17, 18. They said to him in the New American Standard Bible, what would this idle babbler wish to say? And I said, perfect. There's people insulting Paul, calling him an idle babbler. And Paul probably said, hey, idle babbler is here. He probably like adapted it kind of like Yankee Doodle, right? The British insult to the early Americans. And they took it to themselves, just like we deplorables took an insult by Hillary Clinton. And we call ourselves, yep, I'm a deplorable. Screw you. Okay. So I named it that, and I put my personality into it. I put cartoons. I was just freewheeling. It was fun. I wasn't sitting around planning, okay, what do I have to do to put out a really entertaining newsletter? What's the formula? Should I be funny? Should I be satirical? I didn't have to do any of that because this is not pre-planned. This is not something I sat down and had a strategy about. It was just a fact of taking away the gates to my personality, unlocking the door, and just letting myself come into it. And it was glorious, and I did it, and people loved it right away, old people, young people, because they had never seen anything like it. I was somewhat of a pioneer, you see. So that opened, it really opened up the truth to more people than it would have had the truth opened up to them had I been a cookie cutter, out of the box, out of the mold, color inside the lines kind of evangelist that everyone else before me was. So this was a bold move. And the bold move was something as simple as being myself. So there you go. Martin, yes, okay, we got that part. Today, the irritating... irritating. I thought it was funny. I thought it was great. See, as I'm doing a show, these thoughts come into my mind, and I have this filter that filters things like very, very quickly, like in a fraction of the second and of a second. And so as these thoughts come into my head right now while I'm doing this, I run them through certain filters, and I either decide to go for it or not go for it. So I have an idea, and I think, well, that would be funny. Should I do it or not do it? Yeah, I think I'll do it. But that decision takes place in a fraction of a second. So I thought of, like, should I really try to imitate with my mouth the intro to These Boots Are Made for Walking? And I forget why I even brought up that song in the first place. I have no idea. And the filter said, yes, we think you should do that. All the filters agreed. It's like the Apollo people calling out, you know, launch systems, go. All right, go. Computers, go. Everybody checks. Everybody checked out. So every one of my filters said go. So I did it. And this man called it irritating. Well, I thought it was funny. Today, the irritating rendition of the opening of the song, These Boots Are Made for Walking. I doubt that this man has ever written the title, These Boots Are Made for Walking, in his life. So I have forced him out of his comfort zone just to quote the title of that song. Why not quote a verse from the Bible instead? Well, because I think I quoted about 10 verses from the Bible after that. So since I already have 10 or 12 or 13 verses from the Bible, and yet I don't have any renditions of these boots are made for walking, why not balance things out and put these boots are made for walking into the video that includes scripture passages, rather than making everything a scripture verse, everything a calm, rational exposition of scripture without noises? Do you understand this? Man who wrote me, do you even fathom this idea? It's not an idea, it's a truth that maybe I need to make noises. Maybe that's how I illustrate truth. Maybe I think when the eon ends, it'll make a sound like this. Maybe I think that. And so I do that. It irritates you. Well, you don't have to watch my videos. And I dare say that for every person who is irritated by my noises and my songs, there are 100 people who wouldn't watch the video otherwise. Because they've seen the mainstream preachers, they've seen all the tele-evangelists, none of them are making the noise that the end of the eon will make when Christ returns. None of them are doing it. This guy's doing it. And I'm sure it irritates you when I smoke a cigar during a show, or I smoke a cigarette during a show. Martin, why not just make the show without smoking a cigar? Well, I could do that, and I have done it many times. But I think that if I smoke a cigar, sometimes this is premeditated, I admit that. If I smoke a cigar, somebody will like, what, this guy teaching about God on the internet smokes cigars? You got to watch this guy. See, there it is. It is somewhat of a strategy, I must admit. Why not quote a verse from the Bible instead? Okay, explain that. Do you feel a need to use words like prick when describing someone? Yes, I do. I do feel the need to use the word prick. If I didn't feel the need, I wouldn't do it. I believe I've also used the words jerk and idiot and moron. Obviously, I feel the need. Yes, I definitely feel the need to be direct about answering your question there. Do you need to drop the F-bomb? I don't need to. Well, sometimes I do need to, but other times I want to. That is what you are doing when you use the word freaking. All right, so this gentleman who's writing me is offended even when I say freaking. Like, these freaking Christians keep telling me that I need to go to Bible study on Wednesday nights and read from their King James Version and endorse with them the doctrine of eternal torment. That's the word freaking used in a sentence. And this man reminds me that, Martin, don't, it's like, I don't know this. Martin, freaking is a euphemism for the F word. What are you doing? Do you feel that is necessary? Well, apparently this man has never heard any of my videos where I've used the actual word itself, which I have done. I've done it very rarely because nobody likes to hear, and I'm not that kind of person that goes around cussing all the time. Every other word is a F-bomb. Every other word is a four-letter word. I'm not that kind of person. But sometimes if my emotions get riled up from a certain topic, I will drop the F-bomb. Why? Because it is a bomb. Because it stops people in their tracks. And again, I don't make a note to myself, drop F-bomb at 13-minute mark. I don't have to. It either comes to me or I don't. Sometimes it comes to me and the filters all say, no, 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 not now, not now. And I don't do it. Sometimes I get angry and I do it. And then I go back and edit and I take it out because when I'm watching it in the flow of things after I've settled down editing my own work, I think that's not necessary. You don't have to do that. That actually, it turns me off. You understand, sir? It turns me off sometimes. You wouldn't believe the stuff that hits the cutting room floor. Oh, if you saw what hits my cutting room floor, you would be aghast. Is that a good word, aghast? The word gas is in there. I don't know if that's right to use that, but I'll take the chance. So, yes, but once in a while, nothing else will do except the F-bomb. So, yes, I do need to drop the F-bomb. Whenever you hear it, I need to do it. And whenever you hear it, it has gotten past not only the filters that go through my head live on the show, but it also goes through the editing process done by yours truly. I edit my own videos. That is what you are doing when you use the word freaking. I know that, sir. I know that. You have a great message. Why detract from it? Okay, I understand your sentiment here. I understand why you would say that. I have a great message. Why detract from it. Because you and I have a completely different idea, completely different thought about what happens when one puts one's personality in one's work, no matter what one's work is. It is actually not a detraction. It is for some people, yes, obviously it is for you, but for many, many others. And I'd say for every one person like you that's offended, there's 100 who, again, would not watch these videos otherwise. It is not a detraction, it is an enhancement. It enhances the message. Why? Because people tell their friends, you need to listen to this guy. I've never heard anybody teach the Word of God like this guy does, because for one thing, he's all over the place. He makes noises. He has his dog on the show, and he makes his dog talk and wave, and he smokes cigars. He talks about dominatrixes, and he talks about Nancy Sinatra. You need to listen to this guy. And so I think many people have come to this channel because of that. But again, it's not a premeditated strategy 99% of the time. It's not. It's just me realizing that in Christ, I am free. And that for freedom, Christ freed all of us. And I used this email as an occasion to teach you and to remind you that we are of this blessed company, the body of Christ, that we are as varied and as unique as the creation of God. Would this man have said, God, why did you need to put that little glowing thing on top of the heads of the fish that are way down at the bottom of the Marianas Trench that nobody ever sees anyway? Why didn't you just make a normal fish? God, why did you have to make the neck of the giraffe that long? None of the other necks of the other animals are that long. Why didn't you just make a regular neck? I mean, this is like telling Picasso, hey, Pablo, why'd you use so much blue there? Why are you painting with cubes? Can't you just paint like everybody else? Really. So the glory of this message and the freedom of this message is that don't be afraid to let yourself show. Don't think that you need to dress yourself up or hide yourself in order to present yourself to God, as if God doesn't already know you anyway. He already knows you anyway. I'm not talking about going out to intentionally offend people, obviously, when I'm around certain people. If this man were in a group that I was addressing at a dinner table, for instance, and if I knew he was sensitive to this, I would not use it. I would not. But I'm not making this video for him. I'm not making this video for a small group of people where he is in attendance. I'm making this video for the world, for all kinds of people. And so I actually have more freedom doing this than I do at a dinner table or in a living room. So the message to you is, for freedom, Christ freed you. We're not like Christianity. We're not like those who have to dress themselves up and present themselves to God in conformity to everyone else. If you look at the Bible, you have King David, who danced before the Lord in his non-priestly gear. You have all these men of God, all these prophets and the apostles. They're all quirky people. They're all half nuts. They're all half cocked. They're all half baked. If you looked at the scripture at all, none of the people of God conform to the standard issue official version of what a man or woman of God should look like. Let's take those people as an example. Let's take God himself as an example, who puts the long neck on the giraffe, the funny little light thing on the deep sea Marianas Trench fish, and who varied his creation, sprinkled it with fairy dust in every single manner of non-conformity and freaky stuff. I say, be yourself. And let God control the outflow of your personality.